Mr. Rose, reel three.
Would be in Hyderabad on the Sunday night when I came down to Portland. And I was blue. Blue, standing on bare feet on this concrete floor. No boards or nothing, you know, they're really tough. And I realised, and I'd join the Navy.
The first part of your training after that was mainly in making you into a sailor, basically, wasn't it?
Well, the first part of the training was discipline. That's the first thing they teach you. After I dressed, I went up to the mess that would be allotted to and was introduced to the caterer. That was a leading hand. And he got about 40 under his care. I expect they were all out doing different jobs around the barracks, because this was during mid-morning. And I was shockingly hungry. I was starving to death. I could smell all the various smells that was emanating from the galleys. Because the galley in between each block, there was about six blocks in Portland Barracks, and in between each block was this galley. There were probably half a dozen cooks preparing the meal, midday or whatever meal it was. And he said, I'll take you up. And he took me up and showed me, introduced me to the caterer. And he said, all right, you sit down, mate. He said, you'll have to wait till the others come up. I was half past 11 or quarter to 12 when they come up. And they came up. And they're all in civilians. All this, about 30 or 40 of us. And he appointed about four of them to go down to the galley and get the, necessary the food. There was meat cut up in sections and variably roast potatoes and something else, but I can't remember what we had, of course, that day. But it brought me down to earth with a bump. And then the afternoon they gave us a discipline lecture. Who to salute and what to do, and never walk across a parade ground during the day. You always ran, because Portsmouth was still under punishment then over the mutiny in there. And
people were aware of this. This was very common knowledge. Portsmouth was under punishment for the mutiny.
Yes.
The Collard Mutiny.
That's right, the Collard Mutiny, yes.
And this was quite evident in the notion that Portsmouth was being punished.
Yes, oh yes. All the other depots, was they were free of that kind of thing. It was just Portsmouth.
Portsmouth was more rigorous and more,
yes,
more
strict. The whole of the railings, which I don't know, you know Portsmouth banks, was all enclosed in corrugated iron. Must have cost the earth to do it all the way around, and so that no one could look in from outside.
And it was common knowledge that Portsmouth was tougher,
yes, definitely,
than Chatham or Devonport.
I didn't know anything about this kind of thing. It was just a little hearsay that you caught.
Your cousins hadn't told you that? They didn't?
No, not even when they were talking about the discipline of the services. They never mentioned the fact that the barracks was under punishment still.
And this question of discipline, which is what we talked about before, you came up against it now for the first time, and it was, in your words, it made the wheels go round.
Yes, maybe. Yes.
What
yes.
did you mean? I mean, it's necessary, clearly.
Well, obviously, where you've got a large body of men, take a ship with about just on 2,000 men. If you don't have discipline, I mean, things shouldn't go awry, wouldn't they? In any department. And not only that, I think how good the discipline has done, that you do a job perfectly when you've been disciplined to do it. That's the trouble of the world nowadays, isn't it? The youth of the world. There's no discipline, and consequently, come day, go day.
The training from the beginning, your initial training was about teaching you discipline and teaching you to respond to salutes and who to salute. And
well, they didn't give you much of that. They gave you about half a day of it, you see. And then the next day, we went to the stores and drew our kit. And then the following two or three days was marking your kit and showing you how to sling a hammock and how to make a hammock. And how to fold your clothes. Your clothes should be folded up. They have a big chart on the wall saying exactly how you lay your clothes down. And it had to be laid down in that. And so consequently, you got used to it. The first once or twice was strange. But after a time, you soon got used to it. And you ultimately, whenever you came in and had to into barracks or anywhere, and you had to muster your kit. You laid it out according to what you were taught. Oh, you were taught ABC.
And of course, as you said, the reason you didn't go as a boy was because boys were treated much more severely,
harsh.
In your own experience, would you say that your training here was harsh, or was it something that you could cope with?
No, well, it seemed at first. It seemed at first. When you came down to the discipline of the services, which you'd never been used to outside in life, I mean, a common word from parents and sisters is vastly different. It's apparently also shouting in your ear, wake up, or something like that. And it was just one of those things that boys then, which they wouldn't do now, boys then or youth then would take in their stride. They knew that you've got to do it. If you've got to double, you've got to double across the parade ground. If you've got to salute someone, you didn't go out of your way, you saluted him. You were quite proud to do it.
But you weren't, as you say, harshly treated like boys were, though you did have to do the swimming test. Tell me about the swimming test, which you had to do the three lengths.
In the course of the training, it comes about 2 days per week. Take you down, march you down to the swimming miles. The classes, in classes you were, the class consisted of about 20 to 30 men under the jurisdiction of a petty officer or a chief. And whatever jobbies was, gunnery or rifle drill or swimming or gymnastics, anything like that, there was a petty officer in charge of that section. So they took you, see. So we marched down to the swimming bars. When you get down there, take your clothes off. There were the proper places, like you got in a normal swimming bath, you know, little departments there where you're shut off from the next door neighbour. And you put your clothes down or hung them up on hooks. They were a little bit more civilised, it seemed there. Hung your clothes up on the hooks and put on. They came round and they issued each person out with a duck suit. Didn't matter what the size was, you just took it. If you had about 40 chest and they gave you about 32, well, you were unlucky if you struggled into it. But one I got was fairly tight, I agree, at the time. And, we couldn't make out why the duck suits. Oh, first of all, they said, can you swim, see? When they make out your services papers, can you swim? Went back in the recruiting office I'm talking about just now. And you say yes or no, you see. Well, if you say yes, well, they put you down, yes, you see. But you've got to pass their test when you get into the barracks under training. So they assume when they march you all down that you can all swim. And of course, mainly they all were. And then you don these duck suits, canvas suits, light canvas suits, and fell in alongside the bath and said, right, everyone in the water, and you just jumped in or fell in or whatever it was and just cavorting around in the water until they called your name, actually. And they called your name, each one they called, go to the diving board at the other end, the deep end, about 14 feet, I think it was, and the other end was about 4 feet. And on the diving board, dive in, swim three lengths of the bath. See, up, back again. And that's what you did. And if you didn't do it, well, you failed. And then you had to carry on instructions twice a week till you eventually did.
And you, I think, got very near to doing it.
I did, yes. My third time back. I was going back for the third time. I felt quite confident. And as I say, I must have stayed near the edge. You had to keep in the centre of the bath. He wasn't going to have any cheating, so you got to have a rest on the on the rails on the side. And they got a pole that they used to push out and keep you in the centre of the... A petty officer was detailed off to keep you in the centre of the bar. More or less give you confidence that you've got to do it. Mm. And I remember he poked this pole and in my stomach, and I went down like a stone. When I came up, I was struggling. Oh, what a shocking state I was. Eventually, I got to the side and, of course, failed, see, which was ridiculous, really, because I could have done it quite easily if this officious person hadn't stuck the pole up, because I wasn't going into the side to arrest. I was confident I could go up to the end. Of course, no good saying anything because you weren't allowed to speak, so that's part of the discipline again, you see. So just accepted that.
And you had to accept these things.
Yes.
And do the test again.
Yeah, do it again. You finally did. Of course, you can understand the reason why they make you swim in the duck suits, you see, because there would never be an occasion when you weren't without clothes when a ship went down or anything like that. Are they waiting for lunch, are they?
What it taught you was not to disobey and not to talk back and to take everything. This is what they were trying to do, was to make you into somebody who would obey orders.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
And you understood this, people understood this is what it was about. And
well, I don't think anyone ever queried it. It was just accepted. The services, I think, if you went in the army, which of course was only the army and the navy in those days, I think sometimes in the army was more severe than it was in the navy.
Was that the story around, generally, that the army was worse in that respect?
Well, no, only you were listening to what your friends would say, what they had to do, you know.
And your cousin had advised you, one, to go in as a boy, as we talked about. Not to go in as a boy,
not
to go in as a man. And he had also advised you not to become a seaman, not to go for a seaman.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Because there was no prospects.
Well, there wasn't a lot of prospect in seamanship, not really. Although towards the latter part of my career, there are quite a number of seamen passed what they call... they got a term for that there, for an officer.
Commissioned, right, yes.
Yeah, commissioned, but they had a name for it now. I can't remember. Actually. Nevertheless... and there was quite a number. Where there was vacancies, which I think there was, in the seaman officer's rank, rather than in the engineers. Because you must remember, on a ship, you only got an engineer commander. That's just a normal-sized ship, a crew of about 500 or 600 people. An engineer commander, a three-ring, you know, an engineer lieutenant, two-ring, or the engineers as such, which we use in Scottish, as I said, the single ring.
The warrant engineer.
Yeah, and you know blue is engine room and so forth. And there wasn't a lot of vacancies, not in that, especially as they were breaking the Navy down at the time when I'm talking about, towards the end, but the seamen seemed to thrive. They got more opportunities then. I suppose they deserved it after all the years of neglect.
But when you joined, the idea was that there was very little prospect in seamanship, and the